Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There are some animals that we have an instinctual fear to. The minute you see that animal, you cannot help but to take a step back out of fright or out of pure scaredness of them, or just you simply don't like that kind of animal. We think of some animals that thankfully only exist in movies, like the ravaged sharks that can rip a boat apart like in the movie Jaws, or the ground-pounding, the ear-deafening Tyrannosaurus rexes you find in Jurassic Park. Animals that if we were to see in real life, we would be running for the hills as fast as possible, doing anything to stay away from them. There's also real-life animals that are very, very, we have a fear of them, but not because they are dangerous or because they are big, but just they plain just creep you out. I remember growing up how my parents had bought one of those rubber fake cockroaches that looks just like the real thing, and how much fun we would have growing up putting it in this place and that place to scare one another, and the trouble that my brother and I got ourselves into specifically of putting in places we know we shouldn't, or in certain places. And you can imagine, though, our fright, though, when that cockroach actually ended up being a real one, not the fake one that we thought. And when it was a real cockroach, well, we reacted like anybody would. You go away, and you run away, and you try to get away from it. Whether it is one of these animals or whatever animal of choice it is, I'm guessing you have your own pick of animals, ones that you would do anything to stay away from or to even chance meeting. But what would you do to stay away from a den of hungry lions? I'm guessing just about anything out there. But would you be willing to worship a false god, to worship a false idol? You see, that's the question that our Old Testament believer for today, Daniel, had to answer. Do I remain faithful to God even to the point of death by a hungry lion? Or do I hide my faith to live another day? As we look at our verses this morning from Daniel chapter 6, not only will we see how it is that God and Daniel remain faithful to each other, but in fact, we'll see how God remains faithful to us today as he gives us his promises, just as he did to his Old Testament believers among many like Daniel. And it's these faithfully given promises that our Lord gives to us that encourage us to remain faithful to him in all circumstances, even if we were to find ourselves before hungry lions ourselves. Before we get into how Daniel found himself in the situation of a den of hungry lions, let's first catch up to speed of what's happening in the first place. It's around the year 540 BC, and the nation of Israel has been in exile for going on about 60 years now in the land of Persia. And even though the exile was part of God's discipline for his nation for being largely unfaithful to him for hundreds of years, God did not abandon his people in the foreign land. Rather, he continued to be with them, to give them wonderful works of his might and power, and to watch over them in all sorts of ways, including one specifically through Daniel. You see, Daniel had been among the first exiles to be brought to the land of Babylon, as it was called originally, because he was among the best and the brightest young men of Israel. And it was these best and brightest young men who had been groomed for governmental service in the pagan kingdom to work in the conquering country. And God particularly had blessed Daniel to be an excellent administrator, to be a wonderful civil servant, and also to be an interpreter of dreams, so that Daniel rose through the ranks of government service to become one of the most powerful people in the pagan nation. And even though he's going on 80 years now, by the time we get to Daniel chapter 6, with his sound mind and his able body, King Darius has him lined up for yet another promotion to be even higher in this kingdom. You see, not everyone liked Daniel as much as King Darius. There were a number of his co-workers, number of his underlings in the governmental system who did not care for Daniel, who wanted him out for one reason or another, which is what brings us to our verses this morning from Daniel chapter 6. Rather than review everything that we read earlier, I'll refer to your memory of what happened to Daniel and how his conspirators were able to get him thrown into a den of hungry lions. But when we look at Daniel's time in the lion's den, we know how it ends. But up until that moment, it probably seemed to Daniel that the Lord had been unfaithful to him. That is, had failed to live up to his promises, promises that he had given to his children before Daniel's time. We think of where our God promised to his believing children, and also including Daniel, how he would protect them. 800 years before Daniel's time, where he said this in Deuteronomy chapter 31, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be terrified before them, because the Lord your God is going with you. He will not abandon you, and he will not forsake you." Getting thrown into a den of hungry lions does not look like very good protection from God. Or consider another promise that God gave to his believing children of the Old Testament, his promise that he would provide for them, he would take care of them. He said this 500 years earlier in Psalm 145, "The Lord lifts up all who fall, and he supports all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. He opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing." Daniel getting thrown into a den of hungry lions does not seem like very good providence. God isn't taking very good care of him down there. Or consider what Daniel himself said as a much younger man in chapter 2 of his book, where he said, "May the name of the God be blessed forever and ever, because wisdom and power are his. He changes times and eras. He removes kings. He brings kings to power. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have good judgment," showing that God has power over all, even pagan kings, even malicious conspirators, even over every force there is out there. And yet for Daniel to be thrown into a lion's den because of some specific wording on a legal document that couldn't be changed because of the laws of the Medes and the Persians, that doesn't seem like God is all that powerful to be beaten by human law. Why, if we didn't know how Daniel's time in the lion's den ended, it sure would seem that God had been unfaithful to him, that he has skipped over Daniel and giving all those promises to every one of his believing children except to him. How might we wonder the same thing? How God's promises are given to every other believing child of his except to us? Or specifically those promises of protection, of providence, of power, the very same promises that were given to Daniel in his time in the lion's den. And maybe we can think that God has perhaps skipped over us and his promises, because when you look at us and Daniel, his time in the lion's den, things are quite a bit different. One thing for sure is that we're in a far different time and place of history than Daniel was. If you do the math, it was 2,500 years ago, more or less, that Daniel was saved from the lion's den, that God acted to save him as promised. That's a long time. And if you look at the promises that Daniel could have been thinking of, they go back even more hundreds of years. If we're doubtful of a company's promise of satisfaction guaranteed for the things that they make and they sell in the current time, might we also be even more doubtful of God's promises from thousands of years ago? Maybe. Or maybe we can doubt if God's promises are given to us today because the nature of our threats are so different. I give thanks to God that we only hear about government-sanctioned life or death persecution happening in foreign countries. And I don't think any of us would be expecting it to happen here in America anytime soon. And I'm very thankful for that. But that doesn't mean that just because we don't face life or death persecution that we're free from persecution. In fact, we have plenty of it when we live in our customary ways in our own daily life. Might we perhaps wonder that even though this persecution is different, it is just as dangerous, that maybe the reason why it seems God's promises are missing out because it's the wrong kind of threat? You perhaps may think so. Because the truth is, whenever it seems to us that God is not acting as he has promised, we have that initial doubt, that initial wonder, does God's promises apply to me? Or is it just to other people? To someone else? But God's promises have been given to us. The very same promises that were given to Daniel's ancestors, to Daniel himself in the Old Testament, have also been given to us New Testament Christians. And to see how this is true, we not only see how Jesus renews a number of them in his own word, but in effect clarifies them to greater knowledge for our benefit. Think of that promise of protection. And we remember what we heard in our second lesson of the armor of God, where God promises to protect us from every kind of threat coming to us from the evil one. Protection, indeed. We think of God's promise of providence, how he takes care of us. And one place to look for that is in Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus tells us, "Do not worry." We'll talk much more about that specific section in a few weeks in our summer worship series. I won't say much more right now. When it comes to God's promise of power, we look to our gospel that we read from Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus asserts that God has power over every authority there is out there, whether they be from human governments, from family drama, or even Beelzebub's own demonic house. And this doesn't even include the greatest promise of all. The promise of a Savior fulfilled in Jesus Christ and God's own Son. The promise that takes care of us in far greater ways and far better ways than just our own physical welfare here in this world. Because you see, God has indeed given us his promises just as he has those Old Testament believers. He has been faithful to us just as he was to Daniel, even before hungry lions. But not only do we have God's promises faithfully given to us, but because we know he will act on those promises, we in turn are faithful to him. One of the things that I find most interesting in our account from Daniel chapter 6 is it's not God's miraculous rescue of Daniel in the lion's den, but rather how Daniel remains faithful to God throughout it all. You see, Daniel knew about King Darius's decree threatening lion's death on, or lion's den on anyone who worshipped a false idol. And yet, what did Daniel continue to do? What was his custom? To worship God by praying three times a day in his house with the windows looking out towards Jerusalem, orienting himself to where God's house was, where the temple used to be at that time. And Daniel didn't do this in order to provoke his conspirators or to get in the limelight, to get his 5 seconds of fame or to make some kind of a statement or protest. No, this was just his customary way of worshiping God in a very unassuming way. It's what he did to worship the Lord. As Daniel was arrested and waiting to be thrown into that lion's den, we have no record or any reason to think that he tried to escape from the clutches or to arm himself with a sword and a spear or some kind of shield to fight off those lions to protect himself. The next day, when King Darius asked him how he was doing, we hear Daniel's response to Darius in any way that you would, in a customary, respectful way. Not casting blame, not lashing out in anger, not the terrified screams of a man who has spent a sleepless night barely clutching to his life. Throughout it all, even though Daniel did not know how God was going to save him, or even if he was going to save him, he remained faithful to God because of the promises he knew that he had from his Lord. But could the same be said of us? Are we as faithful to God as he is to us? I pray we may never have to answer that question in a life or death situation. Not only because of the stakes that are involved with such a situation, but of how we may sadly answer in the moment of weak faith. But one place where we certainly do have the opportunity to be faithful to him, where we struggle to be faithful to him, is in the customary ways that we live for God in our everyday life. Thinking of Daniel's custom of praying, do we continue our customary table prayers when we go out to eat at a restaurant? Or do we remain silent so we don't draw attention to ourselves? Or we say them as quickly and quietly as possible so nobody notices what we're actually doing. Thinking of Daniel's custom of worshiping the Lord, do we continue to worship our own God when we're with people who don't approve? Or if we had a late Saturday night? If we miss in-person worship, do we at least make do with the second best option of online and on my time during the week? Thinking of Daniel's custom of letting his light shine while living in the midst of a pagan society, do we let our light shine in our increasingly post-Christian society where it's no longer as accepted or encouraged to live for God? Or do we perhaps hide our faith where it is that we work, where we play, or where we learn? While our faithfulness to God has much to be desired, God's faithfulness to us has nothing to be desired. Because he is faithful where we are not, and even more than what we are. We saw how God remained faithful to Daniel in that lion's den by miraculously rescuing him and coming true in his promises of protection, providence, and power. But even if God had not used miracles to protect Daniel in that lion's den and let those lions have their hungry way, even then we would see how God would be standing true to his promises, fulfilling what he has said he was going to do, even if it would not have seemed like it. Suppose those lions did have their way. What would have happened to Daniel? We know that he had faith, that is trust in God's promises, and he would have gone up to heaven. And it is in that act of delivering him from this world up to his life in heaven that God would be showing, would be protecting him from every terror of sin, every effect that is wrong in this world, every trial, every tribulation for all time. And not just protecting him from dangers, but also providing for him, giving him everything that he would need and making sure that Daniel would never be wanting ever again, just as he does for all his children in heaven. And even though those malicious conspirators would have had their way, we would see God show his power by subverting their malicious intent for Daniel's eternal good and ensuring that it would be Daniel who would have the last laugh on the last day itself. Because you see, no matter what, God will always remain faithful to his promises. He will do what he has said he is going to do, even if it may not seem like it, or if he doesn't use miracles. That promise goes to us as well. God will be faithful to us, and he will do what he has said, just as he has promised to us, as shown to these Old Testament believers. It is in light of God's faithfulness to us that we are in turn faithful to him as a natural result of all the promises and all that our Lord does to us. And we consider what he has promised to us, those promises of protection, of providence, and of power, just like Daniel had in far greater clarity given to us in the New Testament scriptures. We have the promise of a Savior who has taken our sins away and paved for us the path to heaven, not because of what we have done, but because of what he has done, the greatest comfort of all. And there's even more promises for you to read, to discover, to review as you open his word and to see what the Lord has written for you to personally know and to believe. Assured of God's faithfulness to us, let us then look to Daniel, who remained faithful to God even before hungry lions. Count on God to do what he has promised you, no matter what the threat may be, or even if he doesn't use miracles, which is not normally his case, how he does things. Even though we may not face life or death persecution, we have plenty of opportunities to be faithful to him in our customary ways of living in everyday life. And when the rubber hits the road, don't be afraid to be faithful to him. But rather, go to God's promises. Promises that he has surely given to you as he has to his believers in the past, with the knowledge that he will do for you just as he has said, so that you too may remain faithful to him, even if you were to find yourself before a den of hungry lions. Amen.